Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, a major Christian publication, conservative Christian publication, has invited the Denver personhood community to write an article, and we will let you know if that article gets accepted for publication. That's all I think I'm allowed to share with you right now, but that's exciting. Also, I had the opportunity to go on Fox Channel 31 in Denver Friday morning, their Good Morning Colorado show, is it? And appear on a segment they call the Fox Box, and I'd like to talk about that in a moment. They asked me and a couple other guests who should Barack Obama nominate for his vice presidential running mate. How would you respond to that question? They asked about global warming and the economy. What's wrong with the economy with all the bankruptcies and all? And also about an outrage of the week. So I'll let you know how I answered to those questions. And then also, Bob Enyart Live has been vindicated after 17 years on the air saying that there would not be an AIDS epidemic among heterosexuals. Bob Enyart Live has been vindicated. In fact, yesterday at Denver Bible Church, I preached a sermon regarding the persecution against Christians and the anti-Christian law signed by Colorado's Governor Ritter that prohibits, it actually says forbidden, it forbids Christian teaching against homosexual rights in Colorado, in any venue of public accommodation, bookstores and so on, except churches are excluded, so bad behavior, bigots are allowed at church, but nowhere else in Colorado. And so in preaching that sermon, I announced that a headline out yesterday, this is June 2008, a headline out yesterday from the World Health Organization states that there is no threat of a world AIDS epidemic among heterosexuals. There is no threat. The threat is this is a homosexual disease, and there are victims who get secondhand AIDS. They get it from injecting illegal drugs, and they get it from prostitution, from people who acquire it through their homosexual lifestyle. Then there are cases of secondhand AIDS. So we'll talk about that story. And also, we mentioned last week about the findings at Stonehenge, and they think now they finally are figuring out what Stonehenge is all about. And we've been talking about this for years in our creation, evolution, and Bible history discussions, where when God made Adam and Eve, they would have lived forever. But after the fall, when they sinned, sin and death, a curse, entered the human experience, and people started dying, albeit at ages of hundreds of years old. And then after the flood, the average life expectancy began to deteriorate rapidly. And so that's why the ancient world was obsessed with burial and funerals and markers and the pyramids in Egypt. And Stonehenge, they've been excavating the site since 2003. And they say part of the mystery of Stonehenge perhaps has been solved because from the beginning they believed it was a monument to the dead, but they thought that it was built long after the site was used as a cemetery. But it turns out that they have dated remains, interred remains there at Stonehenge, and they found out that it was used as a cemetery from 3000 BC to 2500 BC, and that it was erected in that time frame. And so the understanding now is that this is primarily a memorial to the dead. And when your great-grandfather was living hundreds of years longer than you were expected to live, in every generation life expectancy was dropping precipitously, people were obsessed with death, dying, burial, entering the afterlife. And so that's why the pharaohs expended so much of their resources to preparing for their own death. And now the human race has gotten used to the fact that we live 80 years or so. In fact, life expectancy has been increasing since the onslaught of processed foods. I'd like to get a little joke in there. But life expectancy has been increasing, and so hence, not the obsession with death. But guess what? 10 out of 10 die. 10 out of 10 die, and the wise man prepares for his death and to meet his maker. And the fool lives his life as though he will never die, or as though when he dies, it's over. It's not. Remember the murderers at Columbine? They thought they were escaping judgment. They thought they were escaping being held accountable. They fled right into the hands of the judge who can destroy both body and soul in hell. That's what they did because they're fools. Okay, now, by the way, one of our listeners from back east sent us a New Jersey Republican pro-life coalition report. And so just to let you know, we sent out to them a couple DVDs focused on the strategy, too, to the editors of this Republican pro-life coalition report. Won't they be shocked? Won't they be startled? What is national right to life going to do? I mean, you can't escape the truth. The truth is inevitable. It ultimately wins out over falsehoods, over lies, over misinformation. So focus on the strategy, too, DVDs. If you haven't seen them, you owe it to yourself to watch it. Money back guarantee. Focus on the strategy too. You'll love it. After you see it, you want to give copies to your friends. You could get 10 of them for a bulk discount. And it's inexpensive anyway. What is the price of it? $15 or so? Focus on the strategy too. Okay, good morning, Colorado. And the host of that program is Shaul Turner. This was Friday morning. And I got a call when we were in Billings, Montana, by Shaul, and she said, Bob, could you come back on the show? We want to talk about Barack Obama, who he's going to choose as his vice presidential running mate, and global warming. So I said, Shaul, sure, I'd be happy to do that. So I had a couple days to think about it. And the question was, the first question about the Democratic National Convention coming here to Colorado, and who would Obama choose as a running mate? So my answer, and I have my notes here, and I think I could get it pretty much verbatim. And on most of these, I said what I wanted to say. At the end, in the last topic, I got pretty severely cut off. We were out of time. But I answered that question this way. I said, Shaul, when I criticize Obama in a moment, please don't think that I'm supporting John McCain. He is the one whom the Republicans for Choice has endorsed. And they endorse McCain because he has never supported a personhood amendment. And when Shaul introduced me, she said, Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, who supports Colorado's personhood amendment that's on the ballot. And, of course, I do, strongly so. And so I pointed out, when I criticize Obama in a moment here, please don't think I'm supporting McCain. Republicans for Choice have endorsed John McCain because he's never, they say, and they're right, he has never supported a personhood amendment, and he certainly will not support Christy Burton, her Colorado for Equal Rights personhood amendment. In 2005, he voted to kill some babies by surgical abortion, and he votes to kill embryonic boys and girls, the tiniest, the little boys and girls for research. He's pro-abortion with exceptions, and I made that comment. John McCain is pro-abortion with exceptions. So who should Obama's running mate be? Well, Obama should hold his own star search, and he should look for someone in the Democratic Party who knows right from wrong. That's what he should do. Then he has the beginning of a plan of choosing a running mate. Then if he finds one person in the Democratic Party who knows right from wrong, that person could tell him that it's wrong to kill unborn children and that America is in a moral meltdown. All right, so that's what I said. If there was more time, I would have liked to add that, well, first of all, he can't choose Hillary. If he did, office pools all over this country would spring up betting on his life expectancy. I mean, if she was one heartbeat from the presidency, that's just not a... I mean, he wouldn't be able to get life insurance. That's a joke, but, you know, all jokes have an element of truth in them. But Obama's campaign has exposed the soft racism of low expectations, hasn't it? The low expectations that the media has for blacks and black churches. Obama attended a black church in Chicago for 20 years where the pastor believes, and obviously the whole congregation believes, that the government invented AIDS to kill blacks. They believe that. And they believe that Bush blew up the New Orleans levees during Hurricane Katrina. They think that Bush blew them up, timed it with the hurricane. They think that the CIA brought crack cocaine into the black community. And the media refuses to check that paranoia. Why? It is the soft racism of low expectations. The media, ABC, NBC, CBS, the Rocky Mountain News, the Denver Post, they think, well, you know, these black churches, they will let them believe these things because, you know, for one, it fuels their hatred of conservatives and Christians. So we'll let them think those things. And they've earned the right to think those stupid things. That's racism. That's the soft racism of low expectations. Okay, the next question was about fixing the economy, and Shaw pointed out that in Colorado, bankruptcy filings have increased 35%. So for public school teachers tuning in right now, for every 1,000 people who filed bankruptcy a year ago, this year, that would be 1,350 people filing bankruptcy. So it was an increase. And so she went and asked the panel, and the panel was, there was another talk show host, radio talk show host, liberal gal named Gloria Neal, and there was a comedian from the Comedy Works. He's appearing at the Comedy Works. His name is Chuck. I don't remember his last name, but just in case I had to refer to him by name on the show, I did a quick little mnemonic. I pictured picking him up and throwing him over the cameras so that I'd remember during the show his name was Chuck. But anyway, Chuck's appearing at the Comedy Works, and they have a fundraiser they're doing for the people, the victims of Colorado's tornadoes of a few weeks ago. So that's pretty cool that they're doing that. But Shaw Turner asked us, how about the economy and the bankruptcies in Colorado? And I answered that the bankruptcy laws themselves are bankrupt. They are immoral. The federal government doesn't have the right to forgive the debt you owe to your grandfather or your grocer. The federal government has the right to forgive the debt of back taxes you owe to them. But when you declare bankruptcy, and it's accepted, the federal government says, oh, you still owe us. You still owe us your back taxes, but you don't owe anybody else. That's criminal. That's immoral. That's exactly the opposite of right and wrong. The federal government, and I got to say this on Fox Channel 31 in Colorado, one of our major news stations, local broadcast stations, and, I mean, when was the last time something so clear and so biblical was said on a Fox News outlet? That the bankruptcy laws are themselves bankrupt. And the biblical Christian perspective, you can forgive the debt when someone owes you a debt, but you can't forgive a debt owed to someone else. So where do you want to start? How about start with the foundation of the law in our society, in our country, and how we have economic laws that are unjust and they equate to stealing. So that's it. That's the point I made. Now, if I had more time, which you never do, but if I had more time, I was going to mention that we need to bring back indentured servitude. If someone borrows $20,000 to buy a car, and then they don't work hard, they're a drunk, whatever, they lose their job, and they can't pay back the money for the car, well, then the just thing to do is not for the government to say, okay, you don't owe the money for that car anymore. The just thing to do is for the government to say to the creditor, you can take this person as a slave for the next, you know, until his debt is paid off, up to 7 years. That's called indentured servitude. You could take this guy who owes you money, he's now your slave. And so, of course, there are people who think that slavery was outlawed in the Constitution when it was amended in Article 13. But let me tell you something. Before I tell you this, I'm the only person in the country who knows this. Now, when I say it, there'll be two of us, me and you, who know this. That Article 13 of the U.S. Constitution does not outlaw indentured servitude. In fact, it explicitly says, it says that slavery shall be prohibited except for indentured servitude as punishment for a crime. So the U.S. Constitution explicitly acknowledges that slavery is still legal. Indentured servitude is legal for repayment of debt. And so what we do is we encourage people by the millions to be irresponsible, to borrow money, even if they're rather sure they're never going to repay it, they won't be able to repay it. They don't care. They know from experience that when people can't repay their debts, they don't get punished. I mean, you might lose some of what you buy with those debts, with that loan, unless you spend it all. But you don't get punished. So God would have us punish people who don't repay their debts. And otherwise, you promote the kind of disrespect that people have for themselves. They don't respect themselves. Okay, so that was fixing the economy. Then global warming. Global warming, our Colorado Democratic pro-abortion Senator Ken Salazar had been talking about climate change. And so Shaul Turner brought up global warming, and she said, Pastor Bob, I know that you have strong feelings on global warming, so why don't we start with you? And I said, Shaul, scientists have just definitively determined this week the cause of global warming. Turns out it's the sun. The sun does it. And I said, not only that, they found out that in Antarctica there is 2 million square kilometers of additional ice cover than there was just a couple years ago. 2 million square kilometers. For public school teachers tuning in right now, that's a lot. There's a lot more ice cover in Antarctica, and that's on the bottom of the globe as viewed normally, the way we view it. 2 million square kilometers more ice cover than there was just a couple years ago. And I added that NASA has reported that the average temperature, the global temperature on Mars, has increased over the last couple years, and that it had nothing to do with Al Gore's SUV. There are no SUVs on Mars, save for a couple Mars landers. There are no SUVs causing man-made greenhouse gases. And so the global warming on Mars must be because the sun put out a little extra energy over the last couple years. So you can go to sleep. I've had young people tell me, because I ask. In fact, just about a week ago, I asked one gal. She was about 25 years old. And she said, you know, I go to bed at night and I'm afraid that we're all going to die from global warming. I'm afraid of that. And we've talked about that on this show over the years. Young people are lied to, and they have fear. And that fear, fear-driven conclusions will lead them to irrational ideas and plans. And so that was the argument I made, that there is no global warming. And then you know what the panel replied? They said, that's what they said. So I pointed out, I said, hey guys, 31,000 scientists in America, 31,000 have signed a petition stating with their name, their, you know, their degree, their area of discipline, that global warming is a scam. It's a fraud. It's a fraud. To which they responded, womp, 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 womp. And I pointed out, hey, 9,000 of those scientists were PhDs, including some in the areas of climatology and meteorology and so forth. For the public school teachers tuning in right now, meteorologists, they study meteors and meteorites. So meteorologists, climatologists, a total of 9,000 PhDs were included in the 31,000 scientists who signed this petition so far. And I've looked up online the name of scientists I'm aware of, PhDs. I just looked up the 31,000 names. They're there alphabetically and by discipline. I looked up and there they are. They're on there. And you can't sign this petition online. You have to physically get a petition and sign your signature and your discipline. And then the petition organizers, this is at petitionproject.com, then the organizers have contacted each of the signatories personally, individually, to verify who they are and that they intended to sign the petition. So anyway, global warming has scammed a lot of people, but the truth is out there for those who don't want to be lied to. A lot of people like being lied to. Makes them feel good about themselves. And then the outrage of the week, I didn't have time to respond to this. I just got a few words out and time was over. But they thought the outrage of the week. Now, we had just, what? Colorado had just enacted the most significant anti-Christian, pro-homosexual legislation persecuting Christians for their Christian teaching on homosexuality. That wasn't the outrage of the week. No. The kids that were killed at Planned Parenthood that week, kids who were sucking their thumbs and playing with their toes, that wasn't the outrage of the week. What was the outrage of the week? Well, if you're a liberal and you reject the Creator and you worship the creation, right? That's a liberal. A liberal rejects the Creator and worships the creation. So you have among them, you have dirt worshipers, tree worshipers, bug worshipers. To a liberal, here is what they said. Is this the outrage of the week? In Greenwood Village, a Denver suburb, a car wash wanted to install solar panels, but the city said they're too ugly, and they told them they can't do it. So they said that's the outrage of the week. And in my couple seconds, I pointed out that, hey, solar panels don't save energy. They don't save energy. If you take out a loan to buy solar panels, you won't save enough money to pay back the interest on the loan. If solar panels were sort of like a free way to get energy, then Xcel Energy would use solar panels. Forget about oil or coal or nuclear. Forget about windmills. They just put up about a trillion solar panels and get all the free energy and sell it to everybody. It costs a lot of money to make solar panels. That's why they're expensive. And that energy consumed in making and buying solar panels offsets what liberals think are the benefit of solar panels. So it's counterproductive. It doesn't work. It's make-believe. But I didn't get a chance to make that argument. So that was a neat time on Fox News Channel 31 here in Denver with Shaul Turner. Oh, and then Bob and Yurt Live being vindicated by this headline. This was in The Independent, a newspaper in England. that the threat of the world AIDS epidemic among heterosexuals is over, according to a director at the World Health Organization, who's the head of their HIV/AIDS project. This is significant. I mean, at Bob and Yurt Live, we've been saying this for 17 years on the air. According to this article out yesterday, June 8th, 2008, a quarter of a century after the outbreak of AIDS, the World Health Organization has accepted that the threat of a global heterosexual epidemic has disappeared. That's pretty significant. In the first official admission that the prevention strategy promoted by the major AIDS organizations may have been misdirected, the head of the World Health Organization's Department of HIV/AIDS said there will be no generalized epidemic of AIDS in the worldwide heterosexual population. Pretty interesting, huh? Yeah, and I recall the headlines from a few years ago. The CIA reported that the lowest AIDS rate in the world was in the Arab countries, where they have these conservative mores, for example, where homosexuality is against the law. And liberals said, oh, AIDS, HIV doesn't observe any national boundaries. Yes, it does. And in fact, it's not epidemic among heterosexuals. Now, with the grotesque sexual immorality that is rampant in sub-Saharan Africa, they apparently have a problem there with heterosexual AIDS, but nowhere else in the world. So, you know, AIDS was turned into a disease with its own rights and privileges and status. It was glorified. And that's why, according to one of the directors of the San Francisco Department of Health, Drudge reported on this a few years ago, he estimated that one out of four men who newly contracted HIV got it intentionally because they wanted to. In the Rolling Stones, Drudge was quoting the Rolling Stone magazine, quoting homosexual men, saying how excited they were to get HIV, and others how excited they were to give HIV, to infect other men. Pretty gross, huh? Hey, we're out of time. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, the best Christian school I've ever come across. Maranatha in Arvada, Colorado. May God bless you all.